You're tuned to WFHB
91.3
and 98.1 FM.
Volunteer powered,
listener supported.
Community radio for South Central Indiana.
Welcome to WFHB's Daily Local News.
Written and produced entirely by volunteers from the Bloomington community.
And supported by the generosity of listeners like you.
Good afternoon from the studios of Community Radio 91.3 FM. Reporting live for WFHB, this is Kathy Norton.
And I'm Kelly Worley. This is the Daily Local News for Wednesday, September 24th, 2014.
Clearly, my opponent demonstrates that she does not and will not represent the interests of the people of House District 60.
We hear from local Indiana House of Representative challengers later in the show in today's community report.
Also coming up in the next half hour on a new edition of our Consumer Watchdog segment, Bloomington Beware. But first, your daily headlines.
Organizers of an open streets event got permission September 23rd to move forward with their plans, but not without a struggle. Open Streets Bloomington asked the city's Board of Public Works to let them shut down half a mile of 7th Street from the Banneker Community Center to the Beeline Trail. The event is scheduled for October 5th. One of the organizers, Beth Rosenbarger, described Open Streets as an opportunity to use the street in an unconventional way.
It allows neighbors to use it as a meeting space, especially when it happens in a neighborhood. And similar to these photos I have up here, these are different Open Streets events. You can fill it with activities, promote local businesses, and allow people to come out and engage in those activities.
This is the second annual Open Streets event in Bloomington. Some residents told the board they objected to the street closure. John Bavender lives on West 7th. He also owns other houses on the street.
Usually on Sundays, that's a good day for me to do some property maintenance on some of my other properties up and down the street. And I need to have access to 7th Street to haul my equipment and haul away brush and possibly take a lawnmower and do lawn mowing, things that have to be done.
Only two of the three members of the board were present. Both of those members, James McNamara and Charlotte Zitlow, said they should have been consulted earlier in the process. McNamara said he felt pressured to approve the street closure because the event is so soon.
The only reason I'm voting for this tonight is because clearly, because if I vote no, and there's only two of us, it shuts down the event. An awful lot of people put an awful lot of time, including your vendors and all, and your volunteers, and all these people are planning to do this.
Throughout the U.S. and Canada, there have been more than 100 Open Streets events since 2010. A local architect, Mark Cornett, told the board that these kind of projects typically have opponents at first.
All things that get started that turn out to be great opportunities for a community typically have their detractors in the beginning. And when you're talking about the neighborhood and ground up versus Open Streets, I'm not as familiar with the folks that are doing this. But it's not about picking a specific neighborhood over and over again. It's about moving things around. So it can't come from, hey, my block's going to have a block party. It's not that type of event. It's a concept of a citywide opportunity to see the community in a different way.
The board later voted in favor of the event with the caveat that organizers must work with city staff to determine the hours for the closure. McNamara said he won't support Open Streets in the future.
Rise Above the Mark, a documentary film focusing on Indiana's struggles with public school reform, will be shown tonight at 6:30 at Bloomington High School North. The film was produced by the West Lafayette Community School Corporation. The film looks at issues of school choice, standardized testing, the AF grading system of schools, and the role of politics and legislatures in education policy. The film is narrated by Peter Coyote. Rocky Killian, superintendent of West Lafayette Community School Corporation, will introduce the documentary. Judy DeMuth, superintendent of Monroe County Community School Corporation, Geraldo Gonzalez, dean of the IU School of Education, and Erica Peake, a teacher from Summit Elementary School, will also be present for a discussion following the movie. The showing is sponsored by the Indiana Coalition for Public Education and the IU School of Education Graduate Student Association.
Jonathan Raff, an associate professor in the IU School of Public and Environmental Affairs, or SPIA, and an adjunct associate professor in the Department of Chemistry, is the recipient of the National Science Foundation's 5-Year Faculty Early Career Development Award. He has been awarded $649,000, which will be used to support research and teaching. Dr. Raff's research involves the chemistry of air pollution and how it impacts the climate. He is also interested in science education and will use part of the award to develop learning modules based on ozone monitors installed at Indiana high schools. Dr. Raff joined the faculty of SPIA in 2010.
Reporting live for WFHB, I'm Kathy Norton.
And I'm Kelly Worley. Support for the Daily Local News comes from Smithville, a local provider of internet, phone, and TV service over a stabilized fiber optic network, serving Monroe, Greene, Owen, Lawrence, Brown, and Morgan counties. More information on Smithville's full line of services is available at 812-876-2211 or at smithville.net.
The League of Women Voters Monroe County Chapter is hosting a series of candidate forums throughout September, inviting candidates that county voters will see on their ballots this election to introduce themselves to the public. Last night, all candidates for Indiana House of Representatives in districts that include Monroe County were invited to Ivy Tech Commons for a forum. None of the three incumbents, all Republicans, for District 46, 60, or 62 accepted the invitation to participate. The Democratic challengers in District 46 and 60 were allowed to make a 5-minute statement. In District 62, Democratic challenger Jeff Sparks and Libertarian challenger Ashley Keith Quackenbush were both present and answered a series of questions from audience members. The opening statements from all candidates present at the forum last night, moderated by WFIU, WTIU News Bureau Chief, here in today's Community Report.
In the District 46 race, Bob Heaton declined the invitation to participate and did not submit a statement to be read. I invite James Mann to the microphone for his presentation.
Thank you, Sarah. We'd like to say thank you also to the League of Women Voters and to Ivy Tech for hosting this event. It's great to be here in House District 46. You would think that a site within the district would be a great location to have a debate. I've enjoyed going door-to-door in Richland and Bean Blossom Townships. I've attended festivals and various events within the district. I find District 46 is made up of many caring citizens who are working to improve the lives of others. I am a government teacher at Terre Haute South Vigo High School, and I started my teaching career in 1988. Mother Jones said, "Pray for the dead and fight like hell for the living." And I think those are some very important words at this time in Indiana's history. The framers of the Constitution created a federal system in which our government is shared between state and central powers. We established popular sovereignty within the preamble of the Constitution of the United States. The preamble reads, "We the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America." I believe strongly in representative government. I believe the framers got it right. The 65,000 citizens who elect you deserve to be represented, in our case, in Indianapolis in the General Assembly. I want to work with existing businesses in House District 46 to provide opportunities for expansion. I want to work with the Indiana Economic Development Corporation to bring new businesses into House District 46. While I initially opposed the route that was chosen for I-69, I thought it could go a different route through Vigo County and then east. It's going to be built, so I think that we need to work and attract job opportunities that are coming with the I-69 interstate. And speaking of jobs and labor, I fully support the common construction wage and will oppose all efforts to weaken or repeal it. As a public school teacher and a public school parent, I see both sides of the education debate. I am pro-public school. I have no problems with private school. Our son went to St. Patrick's School for preschool, but I do oppose public money going to private schools. I want to work with our elected superintendent of public instruction, Glenda Ritz, and make a difference for all the young Hoosiers who are going through our educational system. At this time, I am winning the Herald Times GovTracker online election poll, 56% to 44%. And I believe that that will continue through November 4th. I am Jim Mann. I am asking for your vote. Once again, thank you to Ivy Tech. Thank you to the League of Women Voters. I greatly appreciate the opportunity to speak here in House District 46. Thank you.
In the District 60 race, Peggy Mayfield declined the invitation to participate and did not submit a statement to be read. I invite Damon Brodhacker to the microphone for his presentation.
Good evening. My name is Damon Brodhacker, and I'm running for office to represent and serve the needs of all the people in House District 60. JFK, while campaigning for president, often quoted the following from Abraham Lincoln. I know there is a God, and I know he hates injustice. I see a storm coming, and I know his hand is in it. But if he has a place and a part for me, I believe that I am ready. That storm in our time is called injustice and inequality. I stand for election as your representative because you and I have seen how my opponent, Peggy Mayfield, has chosen to not fully and accurately represent you as evidenced through her voting record. A voting record guided by extreme beliefs even her own party and its members cannot embrace. I explain by reminding you of a few examples of her version of representation. In one of her very first efforts, my opponent tried to forward illegal legislation that would disenfranchise the voting rights of college students. In doing so, she brought national embarrassment to us, herself, her party, and our state. And more importantly, she clearly demonstrated that she strongly supports and encourages voter suppression. My opponent voted to allow guns on school property. In doing so, she clearly demonstrated her staunch support and defense of the gun lobby and the extreme right of her party. So I ask, is the gun lobby more important than the safety and well-being of our children, of our teachers, of our school staff members? My opponent voted to continue the assault on the public education of our children, our public school teachers, and our public schools. In doing so, she clearly demonstrates that she does not value the education of our children, our public school teachers, and our public schools. My opponent voted for HJR 3 three times. In doing so, she clearly demonstrates that she represents inequality, injustice, and a divisive state. Clearly, my opponent demonstrates that she does not and will not represent the interests of the people of House District 60. I believe our representative should be a leader and serve all of the people. My name is Damon Brodhacker. I'm a man of the people, for the people. Thank you for this opportunity. Thank you for this time.
We now turn to the District 62 race. We were notified late yesterday that Matt Ubelor would not be able to attend. Therefore, our forum will proceed with candidates Ashley Keith Quackenbush and Jeff Sparks. The order of opening statements will be alphabetical. Ms. Quackenbush, your opening statement, please.
Hi, I'm Ashley Quackenbush. I'm running for House District House of Representatives District 62. As Sarah said, basically my beliefs are just that everybody has a freedom to live their life as they see fit, as long as they're not hurting or interfering with the freedom of other people, and that's what I want to represent in this campaign.
I want to thank the League of Women Voters for having us here tonight, and I think this is the type of forum where we need to get a lot of our information about our candidates, and I do think it's a shame that you don't get here all the opinions and you don't get here all the answers to the questions. I am a public school educator, been at Linton Public Schools for 35 years, the past 14 as principal of the middle school. Obviously, I stand for public education, restoring the publication to the status that it once had, as well as finances and funding. And I definitely believe that all public money should go to public schools. I also believe in fair wages and benefits for all Hoosier workers. I'd like to see us restore the middle class and reverse the trend in that separation between those who have at the top and those who don't at the bottom. That trend, that gap continues to grow and grow in the state of Indiana, and we need to restore the middle class. I also am very adamant about trying to stop all legislative discrimination against any individual or group in our state. I found the article in the Herald Times where Indiana ranks 46 out of 50 in women's equality and wages and benefits to be just a terrible statistic to label with on Indiana. I thank you all, and I look forward to the questions and hope you get the direct answers that you're seeking this evening.
A link to the video of the full forum is available online at wfhb.org.
Support for WFHB comes from Blooming Foods Market and Deli, your locally grown co-op grocery since 1976. Blooming Foods features natural, organic, local, and fair trade food and garden items with support for small farmers, co-op producers, and local food artisans. Blooming Foods Market and Deli on 2nd and Fess at Elm Heights, on East 3rd near College Mall, West 6th near the Courthouse Square, and right up your alley at Kirkwood and Dunn.
Up next, our weekly consumer watchdog segment, Bloomington Beware.
Welcome to a brand new edition of Bloomington Beware, WFHB's weekly consumer watchdog, with current advisories and hints designed to help keep your head out of the clouds, your feet on the ground, and your money in your pocket. Back when I was a college student, a lot of people were very unhappy about American soldiers fighting a war halfway around the world in Vietnam. We learned some lessons from that experience, and one of the most important was, don't blame the troops for the government's policies. Today, controversies may rage over where and when our armed forces are sent, but nobody is saying, if you're not part of the solution, you're part of the problem anymore. That reasoning has been exposed as nonsense, and we all support our men and women in uniform all over the world. Except, that is, for a few nasty, greedy lowlifes who prey on honest people who want to help our military people and their families. Right here in Indiana, just last week, our Attorney General, Greg Zeller, announced legal action against some of these grifters up in Fort Wayne. Adam Silvani, Olivia Jean Locke Silvani, Roger Locke, and Donald Schopp are accused of setting up fake charities, soliciting contributions to support the troops, and then, apparently, just keeping the money themselves. At any rate, it looks like the money they raised was never deposited in bank accounts, and there's no record of what happened to it. Sandbox Veterans was one of their organizations, and Catholic Veterans of Indiana Limited was the other. Sandbox Veterans set up, and by now has dissolved, nonprofit corporations in Illinois, Tennessee, Oklahoma, and Montana, as well as Indiana. Sandbox Veterans was dissolved here last February, but these people were still asking for money, even holding up signs along the roadside saying things like, "Support Catholic Vets." The Federal Trade Commission and even AARP have now issued warnings about these people. Now, there really is a legitimate group called Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans of America. It's a real, honest, nonprofit charity based in New York and Washington, D.C. These thieves stole the IAVA group's name and logo, copied several names from its actual list of officers, and claimed they had its blessing. But that was just another lie. Sadly, there's nothing very new about this. In the aftermath of every war, from the Civil War on, we have stories of rogue characters going around this country, sometimes in uniforms they bought used from somebody else, falsely claiming wounds and disabilities, wartime heroics, and even wearing medals they bought in a hock shop. Sometimes it was merely to mooch free drinks in a bar, or chicken dinners in a church social where audiences applauded their tales. But in this latest case, and so many others these days, the crooks are out for your money, pure and simple. There are perfectly legitimate charities that help military people, like the Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans of America, and they're all private efforts. The U.S. government doesn't sponsor any of them. It's a good cause. If you want to help, as with any charity, use a credit card or write a check only made out to an organization, never to an individual. And if you don't already know the organization, like the Red Cross or the USO, check them out first. Go online to the Better Business Bureau's Wise Giving Alliance at bbb.org or to Charity Navigator. That's all one word, charitynavigator.org. The Fort Wayne fraudsters are having the hammer brought down on them, but there are all too many more people out there trying to play the same greedy game. Our people in uniform deserve our support, and they need it. But it's up to you and me to make sure they actually get it. Bloomington Beware is produced in cooperation with the Central Indiana Better Business Bureau. The phone number for the Indianapolis office is 317-488-2222. Or you can reach them online at indiebbb.org. For WFHB News and Public Affairs, I'm Richard Fish, reminding you that swindlers never give a sucker an even break.
You've been listening to the Daily Local News on WFHB, supported by Smithville, your Indiana communications company, at smithville.net, and by Blooming Foods Market and Deli, your locally grown co-op grocery. Today's headlines were written by Susan Northleaf, along with Joe Crawford for Cats Week, in partnership with Community Access Television Services. Bloomington Beware was produced by Richard Fish. David Murphy contributed to our feature.
Our engineers today are Jim Lang and Adam Reichley. Our theme music is provided by The Impossible Shapes. Managing producer is Joe Crawford. Executive producer is Allison Bechtesh. For WFHB, this is Kelly Worley.
And I'm Kathy Norton. Thanks for supporting Indiana's only volunteer-powered, listener-supported, independent daily news program. Recognized among the best newscasts and breaking news coverage in 2013 by the Indiana Professional Chapter of the Society of Professional Journalists.
You can be a part of our award-winning news team. Send inquiries to news@wfhb.org. Stay tuned for Standing Room Only, our award-winning weekly lecture series, coming up next on WFHB.
The Daily Local News is produced by a staff of over 50 volunteers
working in the WFHB News and Public Affairs Department.
Comments, suggestions, and story ideas
may be submitted directly to our news staff via email.
The address is news@wfhb.org.